entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hi, my name is Ken, and I know you're not used to listening to podcasts that start off with an Australian kid, a song, and then a whole theme song after that. But this isn't any other show. This is the DJ New Style show, so you'll have to get used to it. So enjoy Justin, enjoy the song, enjoy the theme song, and then enjoy me and Frank talking about whatever we want for a few hours. Thank you very much. And fuck you.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from Australia. I fucked your fucking sister's face today. Enjoy the DJ New Style show, you fucking bitches.
Met a girl called Lola and I took her back to my place. Feeling guilty, feeling scared, hidden cameras everywhere. Stop! Hold on. Stay in control. Girl, I want you here with me. But I'm really not as cool as I'd like to be. Cause there's a red under my bed. And there's a little yellow man in my head. And there's a truth.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
No. 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 No.
Hey, Donna! Did you shut the coffee yet?
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusive Tuesday Night programming on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And the only podcast on the internet fronted by a band from Germany. Which band? You guessed it, Rammstein! Okay, let's just fade that out. I'm just gonna make up random music and buzzing noises because that's really all I can muster these days. I am Ken, otherwise known as DJ New Style. With me, as always, a bald man who is afraid of you and your filth, Frank the Germ Freak. Frank, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, good evening. Good evening to everybody listening to the program. I want to wish everybody the good evening.
The good evening. Now, Frank, why don't you ever answer the question I ask you? I say, how are you doing? And usually you just you get on your soapbox and you start addressing the crowd with your sideways queen.
I never use the word muster because it reminds me of the word mustard.
Well, what's wrong with mustard?
Nothing, but you say, I'm just saying that's why I don't use it.
And you are also a person that would say lentils umbas. Anyway, Frank, I am still keeping it classy after last week's interview with John Troutman from Corked. I think that went very well. And we are now a podcast on a new level. We are on a new plane. We are classy. We are what is now. We are what is will be. We are the It Show, Frank. A little round of applause, please.
Who told you that?
A little bit.
Where'd you hear that from?
I kind of told myself while I was taking a shit today. I like to just really reaffirm how classy I think I am while I'm, you know, trying to find out what my leavings look like. What shape they match.
People your look, what?
My leavings.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's just shit. It's a fancier word for shit. Frank, we're a classy show. We're sipping wine and using words like muster and leavings. Classiness. Now, Frank, you like to use the Twitter, as people say. It's twitter.com/thegermfreak, and you can follow his ravings, his ideas, his thoughts. And you can see that you go through dry spells.
I go through dry spells, and I'll put a whole bunch at one time because, you know, sometimes you just got to feel it. I'm not going to put some random bullshit on there and bore people. Like
that's true.
Some people do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you saying FM Jeff?
No, whatever. Go ahead again.
You know, don't say his name three times because he'll call me.
I'm just kidding.
The thing about Jeff's tweets and anybody who uses this program, there's a Facebook Twitter selector where if you include #FB, it will take that tweet and make it your Facebook status. The thing about people who use that is that they must think a whole lot of the ones that they tag to Facebook. They type that up and they look at it for maybe 35 seconds and they think, is this funny enough to go over to my Facebook audience? Well, yes, it is. I've handily made fun of House. So why not put the little Facebook tag on there and send it out to everybody?
I mean, you were kind of talking a little too fast. So I really wasn't understanding what you were saying. Are you saying that some stuff is worthy of Facebook and not Twitter and vice versa?
Yeah, it's a program, I guess, or a little add-in to Facebook that selects certain tweets as your Facebook status. So what they do is they write a line they think is a real hoot, and they put the #FB, and it becomes not only a Twitter status, but the Facebook status as well. But they have this little marker in the tweet, so now you know this is something that they wanted to put out there. This is something. Oh, I want everybody to see this. This is a thought that I need to be seen, and it's usually like, you know, that House. And let me tell you, he's just an angry doctor. How are you going to get your job done?
Oh,
really? Just sticking it to him.
You're talking about the program House.
I am. Jeff. Jeff wrote a tweet.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And he—I don't even know what it is at this point. What is his Twitter? It's Te What Show. He couldn't type the What Show, so now he has to type Te. So whenever someone sees you recommending Te What Show, they think that you just mistyped it, or you just—you know—anyway.
I noticed that you made a comment about that show House on Twitter. You were saying that the 160 shows and it's the same bullshit or something like that.
Well, I mean, he wrote. Here's the thing about House. He's just a mean, sad doc who really isn't that good at his job. Sadness doesn't make you interesting. If this was the pilot episode, fantastic observation. Oh, shit. We're about 200 episodes deep in House. Everybody's done with the entire series. It's over with. It's a terrible show.
I think you have an ulterior motive, my friend.
I have an ulterior motive for criticizing House?
No. I think you have an ulterior motive of disparaging the program House because you're, how do you say, jealous?
How am I jealous of House?
Well, you did mention to me one time that a certain someone that you are going to be living with soon, you know, was into that person. So.
Are you referring to Amanda, my girlfriend, Amanda?
Yes, you told me she liked Peter Lorre, the star of the show.
She didn't until she saw him on some kind of a daytime talk show, and he was he had the British accent.
Right.
So that is an instant win for her. But I think even she's done with him at this point because the show was just so terrible. The show.
Well, how do you feel about an English guy doing an American accent? It's usually the opposite. Usually an American person doing an English accent.
They, you know, I don't really care either way. What I hate about as far as the English accent goes, I hate how they're by default funnier, wiser, more cultured. I mean, just because they sound a little bit they sound classic. They sound British. Now they're geniuses. Now every little joke they make, oh, it's a that's brilliant. Oh, it's just brilliant when they're talking very fast back and forth to the other characters, and then one of them turns to the camera and raises a brow and touches his upper lip. He's a genius. Do you see?
Well,
because
you
the
are,
way he speaks.
You are aware that we speak English. We don't speak American. We're speaking their language, so we should respect their language.
Well, I mean, it's English, but it's
call me a Tory if you will.
Is that what you were typing, Frank? Because I heard keystrokes. Were you looking up Tory?
No, I wasn't, actually. I swear I was looking at something else.
You had to skip three pages of Tory Wilson and 90210 fan pages?
I wasn't looking up Tory. I know what Tory is. I was very good in American History X.
Oh, American History X? You had a class dedicated to the movie?
Nah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the thing about it, and now I don't even know where I am. You just completely blew me away. So, no... The people thinking that they're instantly wiser and more funny because of the British accent. I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I can't look at British humor and just instantly by default think this is a classic. This is perfect.
And well, do you realize? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
That most many American TV shows were originated in the UK. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Yeah, but a lot of those shows were inspired by American television.
Explain that.
Well, you know, the people in England grew up. I don't fucking know. Well, do you think I'm some kind of a fucking TV historian?
Well, what I'm saying is, you gotta.
Do I really give a shit? I just know that Mr. Belvedere is cast as the guy who's gonna make the Owens household right again because they're so haphazard and terrible. They need a British man to control their life. Simon Cowell is gonna be the judge of the talented Americans, and he's right. Going. We always seem to look to the British to tell us what's good, what's funny, and what's. Yeah, and I don't understand it, and I don't like it whatsoever. But I don't know. Maybe if we had a really funny Southern comedian that's still alive.
I guess you're not aware of Jeff Foxworthy.
The problem is that I'm all too aware of him. If we had a really brilliant Southern comedian, maybe that would change the opinion of that accent and make that the default intelligent character. But now, no, it's got to be, well, goddamn, my pickup truck got three tires, but I don't give a shit. That's always what it is, and I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. And also, Frank, you say we speak English, and
right,
we're speaking
English.
Their language, and we have to
right.
Show respect and spell neighbor with a U and all that.
Right.
No. If you get a GPS, you can select voices, correct? You
yes.
Can select languages on most devices these days, even operating systems and everything. They always have a setting for U.S. English or English and then English U.K. It's a separate dialect at this point. You know, they're the same language, but, you know, there's a few different quirks between them. So for you to be such a sympathizer or Tory.
Call me what you want. I'm a British sympathizer.
You are. And I don't understand
I'm a loyalist.
Why.
I'm a loyalist.
You bald, redcoat, son of a bitch. How dare you? How dare you, Frank?
Just call me Germfreak Arnold.
Yeah, I don't know, Frank. But, you know, maybe if you had a British accent, something that you wrote on your Twitter would actually be a little bit intelligent here. Food service workers, you had a big gripe with them on your Twitter. You wrote, food service workers should not have Band-Aids on their, and this is in caps, because you're really pissed. Fucking noses! And then you have, like, six exclamations after that.
Right.
So food service workers should not have bandages on their noses.
They shouldn't have bandages where the customers can see the bandages because, you know, it's not a pleasant thing to look at. Looking at somebody with open wounds is not pleasant to look at.
Here's a special treat, Frank. It's episode 256, and we're getting some feedback from Spandyman 256, who's taken a little break from from having sleepover and slumber parties with $70 hookers to listen to our show and comment. He says, sometimes the nose bandage is to cover the hole where the nose ring was. Did you realize that?
Not until just now. Are you saying that some establishments don't let people use nose rings so they have to put a Band-Aid on their nose?
That's right. Now, what would you rather have?
The nose ring.
You would rather have a sharp piece of metal through flesh than a covered-up hole.
Right, because I know it's a sharp. I could see that it's a nose ring, and it will make me less nervous than the fact that there may be.
How is that going to make you less nervous? That's a piece of metal that is.
Because I know what's there. I know what's there. Whereas the other thing, it's hidden. See.
Oh, you don't. So you can't see what's there. You don't know what they're hiding.
Right.
But it's covered. It's not going to get in your stuff. And here's the deal, Frank. Are you aware that chefs are instructed to put bandages on? Because they cut themselves with knives. They don't go home. If they're cutting carrots or something like that and they nick their finger, they either put a glove on, a rubber glove, or they just wrap it up with a bandage or a Band-Aid. And they get right back to cutting.
That's why if I was a Board of Health official, I would shut everything down. I would shut the restaurant down.
You would shut every restaurant down?
Yes.
Then. You would basically be ending the restaurant industry.
It has always been my dream to be a health inspector.
It was. I believe at one point you pretended to be one.
That's true. I remember that.
That's an older story, but it's worth telling again, Frank. Now it's another miserable experience at a restaurant for you, which I would say is every experience at a restaurant has to be miserable for you.
All right. Well, very quickly, I noticed that when restaurants that have salad bars, I noticed that people would return back to the salad bar after utilizing the dish.
Yes.
So they would come up with their dirty, saliva-stained dish, go back to the salad bar, take the utensils, place their chickpeas or beets and onions on the plate.
But,
and
Frank, what if they just dropped it on there? It's okay, then.
You know what? If they dropped it on there, fine. But that doesn't happen. let's call a spade here.
They take the bottom of the spoon and make those little
sauce rings.
Of
course! They just pound the fucking spoon on the fucking dish.
Like they do at pizzerias to the dough. They take the spoonful of whatever and make little target rings all over their plate. Why do people decorate their buffet plates? I've seen that. It's ridiculous. And that is the reason why you were put off by this, because the contact is being made between the utensils, the public utensils,
right,
and the privately used plate.
And hepatitis can spread that way. You can make fun of me all you want or call me cuckoo, but it's the truth.
It's and the what? Fact, I'm sorry, it's the what, Frank? I didn't hear you.
It's the truth.
The truth?
And in fact, Benny Hill's ghost, who at one time was a loyal listener of the program, he is from North Carolina and said that there's a law in North Carolina that you cannot reuse your salad, your plate going back up to a salad bar. So I'm not crazy.
So Frank, what would
what
would please you more? The restaurant puts a sign up that and nobody reuses a plate, or they don't do that and someone tries to reuse a plate and they get dragged out in cuffs. Which would please you more?
I don't want anybody dragged out in cuffs.
You wouldn't derive some kind of like real satisfaction from seeing somebody who did this, who tried to use a plate, break the law, and get dragged out in cuffs by the police.
We're not living under martial law, my friend.
I think that would be something of a relief.
But
if I
were
you,
finish my story.
I'm sorry. Please continue your story.
I mean, you know. So what I did was I called the establishment in my area here, and I called them up, and I said, I claimed that I was from the City Board of Health Department and that they must put a sign up on their salad bar telling people not to reuse their plates.
So this wasn't a place you went to a lot, though? This is just like...
No, it was a place I went to frequently.
Okay. So did you ever go back there again after you made this call?
I went back there a day or two later, and there was a sign. As pitiful as the sign was, there was a sign with an index card written in pencil saying, please do not reuse plate. Okay, that sign was there because of me, because of my phone call.
And you walked out of there with a tented zipper. You got such an erection.
I'm seeing some progress from
your terrible disease.
Proud that I was saving people's lives. Now, let me ask you this question.
First of all, don't put yourself in the category of lifesaver. Do you understand? don't say that you were saving lives because someone had to pick up a new plate before they went and got another spare rib and an egg. Don't act like you're a hero. You made yourself out to be a hero there because I saved people's lives. That's how a firefighter would tell would end. I saved their lives. I saved that person's life. Frank, you panicked because someone was getting extra macaroni and cheese and they put a sign up to remind people they shouldn't do that. It's nothing. Non niente. So Frank, what I wanna tell you now is that you are a maniac, and I know your dream of being a health inspector is never going to come true, although it almost did. But with this facial bandage thing, you're out of line here. You had a point with the dish and the spoon and the sign and all that. So you had a point.
Wait, are you agreeing with me?
I'm agreeing that you had a point.
What does that mean? Does that mean you agree with my theory or you do not agree with my theory?
I personally don't give a shit if people use a plate again or not. I really don't.
So if somebody before you who you thought was, you know, was unkempt or whatnot.
Okay, fine. I agree with you. If you can't spit a sentence out, I'll just fucking surrender. I'm sorry.
No, I just don't want to – listen. I just don't – just like you don't want to see somebody with dirty hands making food, you don't want to see somebody with a bandage. That's all I'm saying. You know what
I'm saying? But they're not making your food. This is a person bringing you the food, and it's not on their fingers. It's on their face.
So are you saying if it's on their fingers, then that's bad? That's worse?
Yeah. I mean I personally don't want – I don't want to see bandage fingers preparing food. I know it happens because people cut themselves.
Would you eat food prepared by somebody with a bandaged finger?
Yeah, because I know I have. I would because I know I have. If I see blood leaking through it, if it's a red bandage all of a sudden.
What if you see a little bit of redness underneath the gauze pad part?
Oh, that's bad. When it leaks through the gauze?
Yeah.
That little dot that turns into – I'm done there.
What do you mean? You're going to walk out?
If I could see it, I probably won't eat it. I'll just let the food sit there and I'll wrap it up and then just throw it in the garbage. I don't want to make a huge scene like you and threaten to get the place shut down, but I won't eat the food. If you could see that red dot through the gauze, that means that it's just a little more squeezing and it's coming out through the plastic of the bandage, through the already perforated plastic. But people have to work through these injuries, Frank. I mean, they happen. What do you want them to do? Somebody has a nose ring. Somebody gets cut. Maybe they have a little zit that popped on their face. Something like that. What should they do? They have to work this fucking job.
I don't know. I'm working on that. I'm gonna.
Would you consider offering them a day's pay to go home?
No, I wouldn't. Obviously.
Well, then shut up. You have no opinion then. If you could pay their day's salary and have them go home, then now we're talking at that point. But you're not willing to do that. So just eat your fucking happy waitress. And shut your mouth. And don't look at it.
I see.
They could do a better job, though. Sometimes they have like a blue bandage or a Snoopy bandage or something. At least go with the flesh tone. At least try and hide it. Do you have any opinion on the colored band-aids, Frank? Do you prefer flesh to colored? Or are they all equally vile to you?
What does it matter? It doesn't matter what color they are. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Good. Good thing you...
Am I going to sit here and talk about a fucking Superman Band-Aid?
I don't know. Maybe I should have asked that question and said, is that correct? And stolen your interview style. Maybe I should have done that. I'm looking down your Twitter here, Frank, and there's something here that I find interesting. I guess you were out driving your car because it says here, just changed a flat tire. My kids were impressed that I knew how to do it. And
right.
I have to say, I'm joining your kids on this. I'm impressed. I didn't think you would even know how to do that.
The only thing I can do with an automobile is change a flat tire. I did have a flat tire a few days ago. I got a screw in my tire and I had to change it. And they were shocked that I knew how to change a tire.
Did you play it up like, oh, no. Don't worry, I'll fix this. This is nothing.
No. I mean, they were like, well, are you going to call mommy? I'm like, no. I can fix it.
They actually thought that you would interrupt your wife. Yeah,
because
and get
I actually
her out
forgot
there.
My. I didn't bring my cell phone that for some reason. So, you know.
Oh, so if you had your phone, you would have called her anyway?
No, I wouldn't have called anybody, but you call, it's not worth it to call AAA because it would be quicker just to change the tire than to call the way for AAA. But, and it's also emasculating to call AAA to change a flat tire, you know, so I did it myself.
Is it really, though? I mean, is that any less emasculating than having someone mow your lawn for you? I mean, that's something you could easily do, but now you have to get a big boy to help you. Right, Frank?
You know, whatever, dude. Whatever. You know what your problem is? No style. You just bought a house and you're all excited to mow lawn and you probably get a Woody mowing the lawn. Okay. In a few months, that'll subside. Believe me.
Oh, I've already missed a week, and I'm saying it's not long enough yet. It was clearly long enough. Needed to be.
By the
cut.
Way, I want to congratulate DJ No Style almost on a 6-month anniversary of buying a house and not living in it. Yeah!
That's right. Thank you very much, Frank. Thank you very much. I'm in a very fortunate situation where I can actually get the house to be the place that I want it to be and learn all of these things that you've just turned a blind eye to and become proficient in home repair, maintenance, and, you know, learning a little bit about doing some renovations and all that. You don't know anything about it. You only get props from your kids when you change a flat tire. Something anybody can do. Anybody can do that. You actually gained more respect from your kids by fixing a tire. Did you fix the tire or did you put a donut on?
The car comes with a donut, so I had to put a donut on.
Oh, so you were unable to fix it. So you didn't have the tools to fix the tire.
No, I didn't plug it up myself. I didn't have the bandages and whatnot.
Bandages, yeah, because you just wrap an Ace bandage around it.
You know what I'm saying there, Chief.
Why are you why are you using that? What is that voice?
I was scratching my back. How much do you think it is to plug up a flat tire?
I really don't know. Did you get it done?
Yeah.
How much? $200? $100?
Come on.
$50?
$15. Is that a lot?
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck, I don't need to do these
Have
things.
You ever gotten a flat tire?
Yes, I have. But I, whenever it happens, I need to buy tires. Oh. Because I run them down until they're perfectly flat. Where if I hit a puddle, I'm basically doing a 360. Just completely worn out tires and terrible. One last tweet here, Frank, that I want to get into. Listening to the Ice Cream Truck song. And by the way, this is on twitter.com/thegermfreak. If you want to see his madness firsthand, Frank. Twitter.com/thegermfreak. You wrote, listening to the Ice Cream Truck song gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Right. When I hear that song, it just, I'm transported back into time in childhood.
Really?
I mean, that song is just.
This doing anything for you? I think that's the Southern. That's the Southern Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, the song that I had was a little bit different. I don't recall the exact tone, but it takes me back to having no worries, to having, you know, nothing to think about, just, you know, running up to that ice cream truck and putting my money on that aluminum counter and hearing the sound of my change.
Yeah, the ice cream truck, it was not like any other thing. Like, the mailman was your mailman for like 20 years. The ice cream truck was your ice cream, driven by your ice cream man for like a summer. So like every summer it would be another person.
It was usually some kind of, some derelict kid, let's be honest.
It was usually some
derelict or somebody who, you know, was down and out and couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, Amanda was telling me that when she was a kid, you know, all the kids would run out with like 10s and 20s that were given to them by their parents, and the parents wanted to change back. But the scumbag ice cream men would barter with extra ice cream. So, like, Amanda came back with like 4 or 5 Rocket Pops and handed them to her mom instead of change, and everybody chased the guy down the street, and I don't think he ever came back. I really don't think they ever got their money back. I don't know, because I heard 4 or 5 Rocket Pops, and I started looking for a new ice cream man to go get some ice cream. But they are scumbags. They are generally people who couldn't get a respectable job, and I don't think you'd ever want to associate with them.
And it was something about the rapping and you know, I don't know, man. It just you know, that one with the sherbet and it had the little gumball underneath it.
Yeah, and are you aware of this? You know what? They always did look a little proud in that truck, leaning out over the shelf. I've never been an ice cream man, so I really don't know what it's like inside that truck.
Well, let me just get back. I know where you're getting to, but let's just. And then if you ordered a snow cone, you know, my mother would yell at me because she would be like, "It's ice! All you do, it's ice! You're paying for ice!"
So
God forbid you get the snow cone. God forbid.
You can't get a snow cone from him because she could make it for you.
Yeah,
but she never would. How many fucking snow cones did she make for you, Frank?
Shit. You know what? When I was a kid, and this is I'm sure this is before your time, but there used to be what's called a Snoopy snow cone maker.
Yeah, there was.
Okay, and there was an advertisement. I remember the advertisement, and a more pitiful snow cone I'd never seen in my life. It was just awful. That they would make this snow cone. they'd give you the official Italian ice cup.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Well, no, it was like when a dentist couldn't afford like real cups for the water, it was like the paper ice cream cone.
Right.
The kind of cup you could never really hold and it held like 1 ounce of water. They were terrible.
So what I did as a kid in the winter, I would just make my own and I would just get snow and just put fruit juice on it.
You just put fruit juice on snow?
Yes.
That is the saddest fucking thing. But you know what? It's probably genius. Was it good?
I loved it. I would freeze it.
I loved it.
It was tasty. But let me tell you
something. You smiled as you said that.
Of course! Let me tell you something.
You're really taken back hearing a little bit of that ice cream song.
Let me tell you something. There's something about when you're behind a counter, you are the king. You are God. Whatever counter it is, whether it's in a bank or a supermarket or whatever, I always felt that when you're behind a counter, you're the king because you are in a place where nobody else is. I used to be a cashier back when I was a young fellow.
You hear that, Frank?
Yes.
Is that doing it for you? All right, anyway. So you used to be a cashier, and you felt superior to your customers?
Well, and I didn't like the fact that when I was a cashier, there was a little bit of an opening. I was not fully insulated from the public customers. There was an opening so that somebody could just walk in.
That's the first cubicle you'll ever be in. Anybody who works in a cubicle now probably worked at that cash register, which is really a mini version of where they're going to spend the rest of their fucking lives until their boss decides, yeah, they're really not getting it done. They're a little too old to fold things, and they fire you.
I like the counters where you have a door that closes up and seals you inside. There's no opening so that the customer can walk inside.
The kind that kind of like flips up and then has a little latch.
Yes.
Now you're completely ensconced in register.
Of course, you're secluded. You are the king. You are behind the counter.
Yes.
There's something about a counter that brings a superiority.
Yeah, because that feeling is all you have.
Excuse me.
When you work behind a counter.
Oh yes.
That feeling is all you get. That's the really the only benefit. You don't get health insurance working behind a counter. You don't. I mean, maybe you do at Starbucks. We'd have to ask Christy.com from 3 years ago because she got shit canned.
By the way, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to Christy.com. I know she's not listening, but I think she's 30
years
birthday,
old. Happy birthday, Christy.com. Yeah, okay, whatever. You got shit canned. You are no longer the Starbucks expert. Maybe you should, the decaf. Blah, blah, blah. So you work behind a counter, and that's all you get. You have that little complex of I'm now the giver of the things. I am the one.
Right.
Who will accept from you and give to you.
You're coming to me.
You walk to me, but behind him. Get in line.
Yes.
And you know what? If I hit a switch, you all have to leave. If that light above me goes out, you are no longer welcome. Get out. Get out of here. God damn it. Go to aisle 3.
Now, have you ever had a situation where you're at a register and the you know, that you're seeing a cashier with her till in her arms or whatever? You know she's going to open up a register somewhere, and you're just gazing at her, trying to figure out where she's going to go.
Yeah.
And then when she opens it up, she says, "Next person in line."
Or, you know, and you know what else? You know what they have the balls to do, because they work in the enclosed ones. You don't see this very much in the ones that are open, because they feel weak and vulnerable. When they are in that closed register or like a pharmacy desk, they will very often say, "No, I'm sorry, I'm going on my break." As if I give a fuck when you eat your Snickers bar and drink a vitamin water. "I'm going on my break in 5 minutes. For 30 minutes. You really have notched out a little place of the world there to allow yourself 30 minutes out of your work shift to get everything that you need to get done. Anyway, so you like the idea of the counter. And the ice cream man.
I always got a feeling when I was behind a counter.
The ice cream man had the ultimate counter, though.
Oh, absolutely. That
he
thing
leaned
was...
out there, and he had all kinds of posters of
right.
things that you wanted to buy.
Oh, yeah.
He had the little jar of Ring Pops that he sold for 75 cents like a complete asshole.
Right. And you're looking at that on the side of the truck, all the different varieties and whatnot,
And he would lean out of that thing, and then he would slip away, and the whole fucking thing goes.
Right.
And some kids wouldn't be able to deal with the separation. They'd start running after the goddamn ice cream man.
One summer, I got very friendly with the ice cream man. I said one summer I got very friendly with the ice cream man, and he would actually give me lifts in his truck and drive me around the block.
So. Are you making this up?
What's to make up?
Frank,
I'm telling you a story.
You're lying that you made friends with the ice cream man.
No, he took a liking to me.
And
he asked me to come
on. You didn't take a ride in the ice cream man's truck.
Yes, I did. How cool is that? The ice cream man's truck, there was an open doorway. So you could actually stand up in the – what's cooler than standing up while you're being driven? I was standing up being driven.
Sure, and then when all of a sudden he pulls into a fucking alley and turns all the lights off and the music turns into the music turns into Marvin Gaye, and he throws out a bare carpet where on the little hatch where he keeps the extra rocket pops, he fucking lays you down, Frank.
He just drove me around a block a couple times.
Did he ever boost you up to the counter because you're not quite...
No. He gave me a couple of push pops sometimes, but that's about it, really.
He gave you ice cream and let you ride in his truck. We just got done talking
to me. I was a young boy.
Of course, that's what he's into. Of course.
Oh, stop it! It wasn't like that at all.
It definitely was. We just got done talking about the skeezerness, the disgusting filth that drives these trucks. Yeah, we just painted a picture of every auto shop Votech dropout that needed a quick $300 in Votech. June.
Remember those kids in high school? They would have to go to vote like half day, then they'd have to go to Votech. I'm going to Volks. I'm going to Volks.
Yeah, what are you doing this summer? I'm driving a truck. I'm going to see if I can find a bald toddler, give him some push pops, and fuck him in an alley. That was his big plan as he was wiping pink transmission fluid off his fingers. And by the end of June, he was wiping something very different. Frank, you probably were molested by the ice cream man.
Oh, stop it.
Nobody just offers kids rides in things unsupervised.
My mother knew.
So the only thing your mom took exception with in this whole transaction with the ice cream man that you were friendly with and became your buddy was that you occasionally paid for ice. Not the fact that you would just disappear for hours on end with somebody who had tie-dye underwear.
The guy would
smell like patchouli.
It took about 30 seconds, for Christ's sake. It wasn't a whole fucking afternoon, dude.
Around the block, Frank?
Yes.
30 seconds?
All right, maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's 5 minutes a stop. And you know there's more than two stops. Frank, you definitely were touched. Get up there. Get on. Go ahead and sit on the counter. Can't reach? Hold on. Let me help you out a little bit.
What the fuck was that? Yeah, you know what? You're the one who's got the fucking problem.
Hey, go reach into that freezer. Get me the ice cream sandwich. No. The ones at the bottom.
You know, can I say, speaking, this is sort of related or not related or whatever.
Okay, but continue.
Are you aware of E.J. McGrathy III?
Yes, I am.
I know he won't mind me saying this because he's
Was he the ice cream man?
No. He's humiliated himself on other occasions, but he subscribes to Playboy magazine.
Really? Okay? I would never have guessed.
Yes. And he told me, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I don't think he will.
A man of such virtue as Ed.
He's been waiting so long for a particular event to happen in Playboy. And that event is there's a playmate who was born after he graduated high school.
So he's been waiting for this for a long time.
Yes.
And basically he's reached an age now where the young girls that pose nude in Playboy are born after what year? He graduated
high
school.
This girl was born in 1991.
Well, let's get him on the phone here. We have 316-768-4472. If you want to call the show, that's the number. I hear myself. So apparently, I guess he's already here joining the show. Ed, the Whoremaster McGrath. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, how's it
going? Hey, what's up? So what's up, buddy?
Now, Ed, you were go ahead.
I'm sorry?
You were excited about the fact that there was a playmate who was born after you graduated high school. You said you were waiting years for it.
I was waiting for it, yeah. It just, you know, it was to the point where, all right, when you're going to see a playmate from the 80s and then the 90s, and then after you graduated high school.
So it excites you.
I've been kind of looking at that.
It excites you to know that she was born after you were in college, I guess, or you get out of high school
now. Born, I think, in November.
All of a sudden, she's born. That is something you were looking forward to, really?
No, I think Frank is not. I don't think I was looking forward to. I was more waiting for than looking forward to.
Well, what the fuck? That's what the fucking means. Waiting for, looking forward to, asshole.
To me, that kind of that's just a reminder that you're like that much closer to the grave. Sure, you're going to beat off to this issue. You're going to get your money's worth out of the subscription. And then when it's all told, this is a woman who was being put in a onesie when you were wearing your cap and gown.
I got to say something else. Yeah. Ed, do you mind if I tell them the other story about that girl who obtained something? You know what I'm talking about?
What do I have to do with it?
Ed, are you aware of a video site called
E-fucked.
What's it called? E-fucked.
Yeah, we've all seen it. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't like the site. It's a very vulgar site because they mix porno with gory stuff, which I don't like.
You know what I don't like is they've basically stolen our clip that we use for Ed. And which clip is that?
Humiliation.
Yes. At the end of every video, they have little funny tie-in clips, and sometimes they play that. But, you know. Anyway, so efuck.com, Frank. You're talking about a clip where a young pornography
a young girl
actress.
Contracted some type of STD, and she's talking about it, okay?
Yeah, she performed anal sex in her first video.
Oh, you know about the...
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm a fan of the site.
Oh, anyway, there's actually Ed. Forgive me. You don't mind me saying this, right?
Come on with it.
Well, give a fuck.
Just go.
Do you mind? Yes or no? I won't say it.
For it.
All right. Ed said that he was going to find the video where the girl contracted this STD and go beat off to it.
I already downloaded it.
I mean, does that make the video that much better, Ed? Or are you trying to find the exact moment she became infected?
Well, when the two cocks were in her ass is probably close to that moment. So, close enough. Well, yeah, she's been double anal.
Frank, you seem to be very excited with this. Like, you treated this as if it was a big revelation. But, you know, a lot of us had already seen that video on efukt.com.
No, he said he just downloaded it. So how could you see the video?
No, the one you were talking about, shithead. Fuck. You derailed the whole fucking show. Jeff doesn't have to call in tonight because you did it. Oh, Jesus Christ, Frank. So Ed, you jerked off to somebody that that got AIDS, because I guess they named names, and that's the that was the exact person she got it from, right?
Yep, and it's pretty easy to fucking put the pieces together when it was only your fourth movie. She's only got four titles on IAFDB.com.
Is the person she contracted it from still in the business, or does he acknowledge what happened, or what?
No, he can't still be in the business. In answer to Sheepy's question, her name is Laura, L-A-R-A, Rocks, R-O-X-X. She's French-Canadian.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, really, they're playing with fire. I mean, it's sad when a cop gets shot, but kind of like, doesn't that just go with the territory? When a porn chick gets AIDS, isn't that kind of just like something that could be very likely to happen? You know,
especially when you got two cocks up your ass, the fucking probability of you bleeding from that is probably pretty high.
Well, and that was her opening move. That was her first day on the job. She was being an overachiever, basically. But the whole being reminded of somebody being born when you were like, you had distinct memories, you were achieving things, you were at milestones in your life, doesn't that just depress you? Like, you're looking at this girl in Playboy.
Oh yeah.
18 years old, and you were when she was born, you were 18.
Yeah, it was November. I know exactly where I was. I was in my first year of college. Yeah, I mean, it's all very clear to me. You know, it definitely dates you. You know, I'm not staring down the barrel of 40 years old, you know, I definitely feel dated right now.
Now somebody is that's on the phone with us right now, right, Frank? You are on the show, rather. You are 40 years old, very, very soon.
Some may say that.
So I would imagine that your day-to-day life is a constant reminder of how quickly you're becoming obsolete. You go to the deli, you go to a Quick Check or a convenience store, you see any place that sells cigarettes, that sign, that little flip, tear a day off calendar that shows the new date where it's legal for someone to buy cigarettes, and you see a date in the 90s. Doesn't that just fucking hollow you out? Doesn't that just tear at you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can remember being, you know, graduating high school and seeing, you know, when people have their jackets on, they say class of whatever. And I can remember people would say class of 91 or class of 92, and I would be like, holy shit.
And a lot of those jackets are still being worn, but never buttoned. I've seen people just wear those fucking varsity jackets well into their 50s.
You have a varsity jacket?
No, I never had one.
Why not?
I never made.
Weren't you a big wrestler?
I never made varsity. No, I was not a big wrestler.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was not a big wrestler.
You never made varsity?
No, I never did.
So you were on the JV team.
That would be it, Frank. Yes, you've deduced my position.
Did that affect you that you didn't make varsity?
No, it really didn't.
Oh. So you put the singlet on for nothing?
To compete at the junior varsity level, yeah. Well, at least I didn't have to put this fucking Speedo on and go to swim meets like you and play handball with old guys and take rides around rides around the block with the creepy fucking ice cream man.
I wore a Speedo, my friend.
What did you wear? You wore the Andre the Giant fucking wrestling outfit. The one strap singlet.
No, I just wore regular regular trunks.
T-shirt and jeans with sneakers.
I used to wear the regular bathing suit with the built-in underwears inside.
Were you embarrassed about your hairy legs at such a young age?
It's true.
I think we mentioned this last time on the show.
We mentioned it.
I was embarrassed.
We mentioned it.
I used to wear like real long shorts and high socks, and all you would see is my kneecaps.
Mm-hmm.
And one year I even tried trimming the hair on my legs a little bit because I was too embarrassed.
Now, hey, Ed, I have a question for you. When Frank calls your phone, what do you see on your phone? Whose name comes up on your phone?
I see the name
just
Donna.
First name. So you see Donna.
Yep.
And I believe that you said something to Frank when you answered the phone and discovered it was Frank and not Donna. What did you say?
Well, usually I jokingly say, "Hey, Donna." I forget.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you said something.
He just said he got excited because he thought, you know, he saw Donna on his caller ID.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Now, Frank, how did that make you feel? Hearing Ed say, even if he was joking, you know how Ed operates. You know his interests and his motives. How did that make you feel hearing Ed say, "I was excited when I saw Donna"?
I knew he was just kidding around. I have no qualms about that. But
Well, okay, fine. Let me ask you this then, Frank. How would you feel if Ed, instead of joking around, said, "Hey, Frank, I seriously have to say something to you. I spent the last 7 days jerking off to your wife's Facebook picture"? How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't like that because I would feel like violated. I would feel I wouldn't appreciate it. It would make me feel uneasy inside.
Would you respect him because he came forward and told you and didn't just keep it a secret?
I don't know. I would think you know, it was almost like, you know, he was cheating with my wife almost.
Hold on. He's cheating with your wife. So that means your wife is cheating by him jerking off to her.
Yes. Like, what if Ed was to print out a picture of your girlfriend's face and jerk off and shoot his load all over her face? How would that bother you?
That would fucking... First of all, I would be completely gnarled out that he would waste ink so that he could ejaculate on a photo. Whenever you spill ink on an inkjet photo, like a picture you've printed out on a inkjet printer at home, it already looks like it's been jizzed on. So now, if you actually jizz on a photo you've printed out, it has to be three times as bad. Just little globs, parts of it that are... It basically absorbs the ink and just is the shape of the load on the picture. I would be more disgusted to see, like, the cleaned-off picture than to have him tell me. Him telling me that he jerked off and came on a picture of Amanda really isn't going to affect my life. I'm going to be a little more cautious around him. I'm going to have to look at him in a different light.
Also,
I'm not going to really care.
I want to bring this up too, and I'll bring it up on the program. Ed said to me that he wants to have a DJ New Style program show at his house.
Hold on. I'm thinking about this whole thing. How fucking horny are you to wait for the picture to be printed? It's not exactly an instant process. Like, you really want to have revenge on somebody when you're printing their picture out just to jerk off on it. It takes a while. It takes a fucking while. And he's all hunched over. He's probably already got his pants undone. He's getting it ready or with it, whatever fucking lubrication. No, I'm sorry. I would be completely disgusted and appalled. And I wouldn't respect him for telling me.
What if he wipes his dick on the picture in order to get all the stuff off, and some of the ink gets on his dickhead?
Well, see, I wouldn't have extrapolated to things that would be on him. I'm worried about the picture of Amanda. So you're saying he wiped his dick with the picture, so now it's just a jizzed on face, and then the bottom of it has like a clutched fist mark, like it was wrapped around something briefly. Oh God, this is disgusting.
Ed, just real quickly, Ed broached the subject.
What if he took Donna's Facebook picture and had it printed on a Cafe Press blankie and used it for 3 weeks and it just became crisp and yellow to the point where it was very firm, like an oil painting, and he hung it up in his apartment? and invited us over, which seems to be what you're leading up to, right? He wants us to come over and hang out.
Yeah, he wants us to do a show at his apartment. Now, he already failed once before. He built up this thing about doing a show there. Then the last minute he bailed out on us. So I have reservations.
Yeah, Ed, what changed now that you can facilitate our show where you couldn't
my
before?
My apartment is now clean. That's a big factor. My busy travel schedule has led to my apartment becoming in somewhat disrepair. So I have remedied that situation most of the way.
So you just basically want us to see things. You want us to see your apartment while it's clean for the next week, and then
right. It's not. And let me put a disclaimer on this. This is not filth like you'd find in some people's houses where there's fucking dish piled in the ceiling, stuff like
no,
that.
It's just
and clutter.
It's just jizzed on printouts of our respective
now,
women.
Ed, would you allow us to access your bedroom?
Yes.
Would you allow us to bring
I don't want to get my bedroom so badly.
Would you allow us to bring a black light into your bedroom?
Yeah, because I don't do anything in there. I do hotels.
Yeah, you need sunglasses when you turn
and
that black light on.
Lazy boy chair.
When you turn it on in any other room,
hell yeah, that
you need fucking sunglasses. Now, Frank, Ed, would you allow Frank into your bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure?
Because I would not go into his bathroom.
Well, Frank, you'd want to see the roll of toilet paper he had custom made with Donna's picture on every sheet.
No, that's Frank's picture on a fucking toilet paper. It would be much, much more appropriate.
Oh, Jesus. So now you want us to do? You want us to hang out or do a show? That I don't understand.
I would like to do a show. I'm not talking event or anything of that nature. I'm talking.
How many people can we bring? 100 people. 100 tops? Okay.
Half dozen.
Oh, so it's like 6 people. All right. I mean, well, okay. I mean, can we have live entertainment there? Is that the... Can maybe one of your friends comes over and Frank interviews one of your friends?
I don't really have any friends right now that would be willing to do that. They've all pretty much left the business. So there's really no one.
They left the business after they had sex with you?
Did they tell you they left
yeah,
the business?
Pretty much.
You call them up for repeat service and they indicate that they are now massage therapists?
Well, one moved to South Carolina, so and the other one travels a lot. So
Jesus.
Those are really my two mainstays.
And I'm really embarrassed that I'm even saying this, but for some reason Ed feels the need to tell me about his sex, and he tells me that he leaves his socks on when he's with the prostitutes.
Every now and then.
Oh, God, nobody needs the visual of somebody banging with socks on. Nobody does, Frank. Why do you paint that picture? Ed, are you embarrassed when Frank talks about your dick and your sex? Because he always does.
He does. It's his way. Yeah, I took him off today, though, Frank.
Oh, thanks. So I guess you were with a whore today.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Fantastic. We'll be sure to be over there post-haste. Very good. Well, you know, maybe we'll work something out, but we have to have something, some purpose for being there. Other than hang, I know you're good to hang out with Ed, but we need to make it some special thing that to make it why we're there. Do you understand?
All right, as long as it doesn't destroy the newly cleaned apartment, I'm all for it.
Because okay, well, Ed, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you very much. We'll work something out. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Later.
Thank you very much. And, you know, Frank, we are getting more into events lately. I mean, I've made a resolution this year to have to come together with everybody on Heroes Talk and work towards planning several events for this year. I have done the worst possible job planning them, and without people like Barb, Chris from Best in Show, without those people, these events would never really come to be. And because of them, we have one coming up in June, Frank. We are making, the official announcement here for our show. I think Best in Show mentioned it. June 5th at Green Rock Tap and Grill in Hoboken, New Jersey. We will be at the event entitled, Hi, I'm Frank, I'm 40. Hi, I'm Frank, I'm 40. June 5th, Hoboken, New Jersey. And Frank, we worked out a special drink deal. Are you aware of this?
I am aware.
I am aware.
From 8 to 11, for $30, I believe it's all you can drink.
from 8 to 11, you pay $30. Anything you want to drink, except Kettle One, Patron, shots, and aged scotch. So we're talking top shelf, except for a few things.
Whatever. Jello shots?
No, Frank. Where do you think... This isn't fucking the Delta House.
I'm only kidding.
It's an actual bar. Listen, where grown-ups go.
I don't, and you know, I think you put something on Facebook or something, some kind of...
Yeah.
And you says, you know... For people not to bring gifts, obviously, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a real birthday party. Right. Frank doesn't want gifts. He doesn't want you to bring any cake or anything like that.
I don't object to cake.
So you would.
I definitely don't want gifts.
No gifts for Frank.
I don't object to cake. I don't object to cake. So just put it out there.
Sheet cake is his preferred cake. I'm just saying. Listen, I put it out there to be, you know, a gentleman, to not like welcome somebody or invite people to hang out with us and kind of make them feel obligated to bring something. I mean, there are occasions where that's fine. Birthday party, you know, graduation parties, whatever. Bring a gift. It's fine. But, you know, this, you're 40 years old. We're just hanging out at a bar.
Yes, I don't want any. I don't want any.
No cake, no gift.
No. I don't object to cake. I don't object to cake.
So no gifts. And no cake?
No gifts. I don't object to cake. That's all I'm saying.
So if someone brings a cake, you won't object to it. You'll try it out. You will eat whatever cake they bring.
No. Depends. First of all, it depends who brings the cake. I'm not going to eat a cake brought by Ed, number one.
Well, what if who would you eat a cake from?
It would have to be a professionally made cake.
Well, what if Barb goes to a bakery and gets you a cake?
Fine.
And the cake is shaped like a penis.
Doesn't bother me.
Seriously eat a dick cake?
Of course. I bite the head right off.
We need a dick cake. We need a dick cake on June 5th. We need dick cakes. Multiple penis cakes for Frank. He does not object to cake, ladies and gentlemen. And also, Frank, I wanted to get your opinion on something here. I was trying to help people figure out where it is. People are coming from all over. There's rumors of flights taking place of people getting here. People coming from Long Island, from New Jersey, from the city. So, you know, I'm working up some maps and stuff to, you know, one of them was to the PATH. It's very close to the PATH train. And as I'm looking at this map, Frank, and I have the link, I just sent you the link. You see the little bus picture, Frank?
Yes.
Yes. It's right next to the B, which is the PATH station. You see that little thing?
Yes.
Do you see the business below the bus?
Yes, I do.
What is the name of the place?
The name of the establishment is Jizzbiz.
There's a fucking place on Google Maps right next to the PATH train on the same block called Jizzbiz. I have no idea what the fuck this is. And I looked it up. And Jeff is saying that Ed is the primary stockholder. He wants to have us over his house for the show so he can announce his new venture, Jizzbiz. And the theme is, it's like a foam party, but just with jizz. That's his whole thing. I did some research, and it was like an old pizza place. Because there's a phone number. It says Jizz Biz Incorporated. Frank, this is very close to where you're going to be consuming drinks. What? There's only one kind of fucking business that could be named Jizz Biz. Do you have any inkling as to what it might be, Frank?
Obviously.
Obviously, there's some jizz coming out.
Yeah.
Does this make you uncomfortable, being so close to the Jizz Biz?
Only if they have the same mailman.
They obviously do have the same mailman.
Well, then it makes me nervous.
And you know what? Not only that, it's a lot of people going to that train from the bar and to the bar. People take that little train station, pass by the Jizz Biz. Who knows if they go in and out? And they go, oh, hey, here's a nice pub. The Green Rock Tap and Grill on Hudson Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Hey, it's June 5th. There's a great thing going on here for an aging bald man. Let me just stop real quick into Jizz Biz and then get on down there for the drink deal. Okay. Do you think that this is going to be something you're going to obsess over?
I think I can grin and bear. I don't think that it exists anymore, that business, right?
No, the pizza place it used to be does not exist. It is now a new venture, Jizzbiz. And as you're eating your penis cake, you'll look up and see faces and not be completely convinced that they haven't been inside said Jizzbiz. So I don't know.
We'll have to see. I may have to scope it out beforehand.
I'm sure you will. Well, you know, I got a leak, Frank. Why don't we take a quick break here?
Are we going to do
you know,
a
why
GFR
don't you make the announcement, Frank? You
well,
know,
listen. No, just very quickly. I mean, we lost a
hero of Frank's. Has passed.
No, it wasn't. It's not a hero.
Frank idolized the man.
I didn't.
Ronald James.
Yeah, we lost Ronald James Padovano, a.k.a. Ronnie James Dio.
I want to say something here. I saw a tweet that said he had died. So I commented, RIP, R.I.P., Dio, with a frowny face. And I get all this shit. He's not dead. Look at this link. He's alive. Couple hours later, he's fucking dead. So eat my ass. I'm sorry.
Do you feel like that you got one over on people that you reported a death before most people knew about it?
No. I mean, I don't feel like I reported it. I mean, I guess maybe. Maybe there's people that found it out for me. I found it out from someone else's.
Anyway, this was a GFR we did some time ago with one of his programs or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to take a break here. The DJ New Style Show. We'll be right back. This is the DJ New Style on HeroesTalk.com. What is it, Frank?
It's HeroesTalk.com, the thing you do with your eyes and the place to be.
Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. That's why we might as well take our time.
Next up, it's Germ Freak Radio! That's gay. That's so fucking corny. I'm embarrassed I even said that. All right, calm down. Okay. Okay, ladies and... What's that? Oh. What are words for when no one listens? There's no use talking at all. Do you hear me?
Well, now, Germ, can I interrupt for a second? You're gonna do your Germ Freak Radio tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't we get to it? Do the first one, please.
Okay. Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horn gesture used by many rock groups today. He first. I was going to say published his first album, but you don't really publish your album.
Yeah, you don't. How about you bring it together? How about you piece it all together, put it all like a puzzle, get it all out there, and give it to the people?
I'm doing my best.
Jesus Christ! Just do it!
This hard rock... Shut up, you asshole! I'm fucking doing it. Now shut your fucking hole. I'm sick of your crap.
Go fuck off.
Oh, that's my fucking thing. Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horn gesture used by many rock groups today. He made his first single in 1958. Oh, God. There's just nothing here. Listen to me. Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horns gesture used by many rock stars today, which symbolizes the maloika used by many Southern Italians. In 2008, a petition was formed in order to have this person run for president. In 1983, fuck! It's a fucking bore! I'm trying to make it more interesting than it is, and it's a fucking bore!
How about you cut out, like, three fucking lines? Do we need to know it's the Malachia? Maybe. Do we need to know James Padovano popularized
yes, you
the
do.
Fucking... Ah, go fuck off! How about you make it fucking interesting, then?
Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horns gesture used by many rock bands today, which started with many Southern Italians, which means the evil eye. He produced his first song in 1958. A petition is being signed right now for this individual to run for president. The Dio for President last.fmpages.com. I'm sputtering! Born Ronald James Padovano,
Look. Stop. 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 We all know his name by now. We all know what he did. The puzzle pieces are on the table, Germ. The pieces are on the table. Intelligently and gracefully piece them together and deliver it to the people.
Born Ronald James Patavona, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horns gesture used by most rock bands today, which was started with Southern Italians because it symbolizes the Maloika, a.k.a. the evil eye. He produced his first song in 1958. There is a petition going on for him to run for president of the United States. God, I'm sorry. You know what? Erase that. I'm a fucking mess today. Let's cut off where we're at. It's from his 1983 heavy metal album. It's number 13 on VH1's Top 40 Greatest Metal Songs. It's Ronnie James Dio with Rainbow in the Dark.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the DJ New Style Show on HearUsTalk.com. Please tune in to all of our other fine programming, such as Best in Show Radio. They're live every Thursday night, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
I was on another whole plateau. I've moved into some other new area when I'm passing logs through my butt that are probably, I'm going to say 4 inches in diameter. 3.5 to 4 inches in diameter.
Can you not say logs? Because I don't want you to make this conversation gross.
Also, every Friday night, check out The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30 a.m.
And then also, a woman's menzies.
Menzies? What are you, 80 years old?
Wait, she's just sitting there bleeding? Or
it's just blood coming out of the vagina, trickling.
Drip.
Ew. What did you call it?
Menzies.
It's like what old people call it. What the hell is wrong with it?
So be sure to keep tuning in to the DJ New Style Show, Best in Show, and The What Show. Hear us talk. Entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet.
Hey, this is Mike from Queens, and you're listening to the DJ New Style Show because you're pathetic. If you want to know what real men do, get in your underwear, get on the PlayStation Network, and eat microwavable foods.
Oh! Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show! This is your Tuesday Night Miracle, that's right! Thank you for tuning in. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com and download everything we've ever done. Subscribe to the podcast and tell your friends to do the same, if you have any friends. And if you don't, that's okay. You've just made a bald one and one with a sparse beard. We are your new friends, and we're glad to have you. Now, Frank, where else can you make some friends? Now, I'm talking about video conferencing here on the internet. I'm connected. I want to go and meet people. Where do I go, Frank?
I'm talking about the award-winning software, ICU2.
ICU2? It's 2009 People's Choice Award winner. The people have spoken. And they spoke out for internet communication. And what they shouted from the hilltops? ICU2. They all went to ICU2.com, and they tried out this excellent software that allows you to be face-to-face with complete strangers who could become friends and more if you let them, and from any part of the globe. ICU2.com. It's free to try. Download it today to your Windows PC. Sign up, and you know, personally, Frank, you're asking me which video conferencing to use. ICU2. All the other latecomers, people that were late to the game, they saw what ICU2 has done,
and they tried to duplicate it, but maybe they're face to back from some places. Maybe they're toe to hand. They're not face to face from any place, like ICU2 is doing. So go to ICU2.com, try it out, let us know what you think, and also let them know where you heard about it from. That helps us, that helps hear us talk. And honestly, it'll end up helping you, because ICU2, the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication, is fantastic. Am I wrong, Frank? Am I an asshole?
Well, no to the first thing and yes to the second.
You son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. It's good to see that we have DJ Rob in the Pal Talk room. And also,
oh, DJ Rob. Haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, it's true. And also in the Heroes Talk room as well. I want to say big ups to Kremlin. And he's suggesting that we pitch our show to This Week In Network. I really don't know what that is. They're looking to expand. Well, I'm looking to be filler. I want to be filler on everything. Oh, God. We have a whole lineup here on HeroesTalk.com. I mean, it's not just us, Frank. There's The Awful Hour, which dropped episode 17 last week. And next week, a week from Wednesday, they'll be airing their 18th episode. TheAwfulHour.com. Thursday nights, Best in Show, 8 to 10. They're trying a new thing. They're concentrating their goodness into a fantastic, magical, smoking ball of entertainment. And The What Show, they will be on this week, Friday nights, 9:30 to 12:30 in the a.m. Because after 12, it becomes a.m. again. Anyway, that's Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. Now, Frank, we talk occasionally. We speak. We're friends, I would say. One of your big concerns lately has been your dog. Your dog is not doing too great lately. And I guess you've had to take him to the vet.
Yeah, my dog Marvin, I have two Maltese. He's the male Maltese. He'll be 12 years old this year.
Oof.
And he's been hacking and wheezing and dry heaving.
That's not good.
No. And I was speaking to a friend Sheepy, who also lost a dog, and I remember his dog suffered from something similar to that, so what I did was I brought
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at something that
are you making fun of my dog?
No, I'm laughing at something that our friend Keith Fu said. You're aware of Keith Fu, right?
You mean Keith Fu?
I'm talking about Keith Fu, but oh. He said 12's pretty old for a dog. Marvin is Frank in dog years.
Okay.
He's basically anyway. Saying that you're almost over with.
All right.
I'm looking on Wikipedia here, Frank. Lifespan on a Maltese, 12 to 14 years. So you got your money's worth. I mean, is that okay? I mean, if it was less than that, you'd probably feel a lot worse, right? He lived a full life.
You know what? That's a horrible way of thinking.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring this up.
I wonder what the lifespan is of a Malta poop like you have.
You're talking about a cockapoo?
Oh, cockapoo.
A dog that will live 15 to 20 years because it has hybrid vigor. Purebred dogs don't live as long, Frank. So I noticed one of my Facebook friends has puppies or something like that. He's getting an American bulldog puppy. And I didn't know what they looked like. I know the regular British bulldog with the mashed-in face. So I used Wikipedia to search the breed and maybe see an adult picture of this dog. And I found out that they have the lifespan of these dogs. And on one particular part of this, it says under health, bulldogs generally live from 3 to 12 years and right. tend to be strong, active, and healthy. How the fuck 3 to 12 years and that's strong and healthy? So, Frank, you got 12 years out of your dog. You enjoyed him. I mean, take him to the vet, see what they can do. I mean, that's what you're doing, right?
Well, yeah, so we found out that he has an enlarged heart. So where he's on, you know, antibiotics and some kind of medication and whatnot, and hopefully, you know,
I can't stand going to the vet.
It's an experience in itself because you go there.
It's an experience. It's where I work the experience.
It's I worked from 1986 to 1992. I worked at the ShopRite Experience on Ocean Road in Edison. It was called the Experience.
Would you care to address Ed, who just typed in all caps, mind you? He also has an enlarged dick.
Well, you know, he suffers from a constant boner.
Well, did you ever think that maybe because he has an enlarged heart, it's there's a lot more blood in his system?
Actually, you know what? I really haven't talked about it a lot. His dick hasn't been sticking out as much anymore. I don't know if you've noticed. I really haven't been talking about it lately.
Can you fix your microphone? I hate to tell you, but...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds good now.
His dick hasn't been sticking out as much as it used to.
Does that upset you?
That his dick doesn't stick out?
Yeah. So anyway, you go to the vet. And what do you get from it? Because I go there.
Go ahead.
I go there, and it's usually in the morning. So they put out, like, people are sitting there with their pets, and most of them are smiling. The ones that have really fucked up animals are not smiling. And it's the morning, and there's all these smelly dogs, and I look on the counter, and they always have coffee and fucking munchkins. And I can't fucking resist. I still go over to the box, and I look, and then I think, how much fucking dog bacteria is just encrusted on these donuts? There's a certain place where you should not just put out fucking food for people to just pull from. Especially if they're holding their shitty dogs that have shitty skin diseases and all kinds of flakes coming off their neck.
And these people, you know, have some decency. If you're going to bring in a stool sample in a bag, don't make it a fucking clear see-through bag.
You know what's even worse? When they bring it in, like, the ShopRite bag, it's like one little shit in like a huge bunched up bag. Yeah, so, you know, if you don't have a bag, whatever, I understand. But, you know, double bag it, too. We don't need to smell it. I understand they're going to poke through it in the lab, as they say. But, you know, get a better bag. I'm normally not that type of person. Like, I'm not going to, as Frank would, be angry at someone who's picking shit off the street. Whatever you can at that point, do it. Carrying shit in your car, in your hand, that you're going to sit for like 20 minutes waiting for a flamboyant man in a white robe to come out and say, "Is this Teddy?" and then hand him shit and then go in a room and see him poke your dog's ass and then say, "Oh, yeah, he's fine. $80. Fucking crooks. Anyway. Get a better bag is the thing. But, Frank, there's just so many things about the vet that I can't stand. One, the donuts irritate me, the fact that they're left out. Oh, you brought it up. I didn't think of it, but the shit bags. Two, the fucking raping that they do. They put on this front that they have pictures of dogs that are happy, dogs that they've helped, animals. There's always – every vet has, like, the picture of the wall board of the animals they've helped, and there's always, like, a non-dog, like a horse or some shit. Where they fix the horse's leg or whatever. And then the pamphlets for how to take care of your animals. And then they take you in the room, tell you nothing, do nothing for the dog, and they charge you like $100.
Yeah, they're whores. They rape you. Those vets rape you because you don't know because you're at, you know, you're vulnerable at that point.
Yeah.
And you don't – you just – they'll tell you need things that you just don't need, and that's why I despise going to.
And having a healthy pet puts you in somewhat of a position of power, but not really. And having I can only imagine having a sick pet going in there, you are fucked.
Well, even if the fucking dog is healthy, I'm sure that they'll say there's something wrong with it. Just, he's due for his fucking Bellabora shots, whatever the fuck, Tembora or Billabora, whatever they fucking call it.
So you go in there with Marvin, not feeling well, hacking up along. And there's people there with their dog perfectly sitting at their side. They have a fucking treat balanced on his nose.
And everybody's scoping on everybody else's pets. Oh, yeah. This guy, let's see. He must see. His pet looks kind of mangy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, take care of that piece of shit.
That guy's Yorkie just pissed all over the fucking place.
Yeah. And there was two other people that had Maltese in there. And I don't know if you've ever seen Maltese. They look identical. I mean, they just look like twins, you know?
Yeah.
So Marvin saw another Maltese. And I think it was the first time he ever came in contact with his own breed.
You have two Maltese.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking idiot.
I mean, you know what I mean, like out of this area.
I understand.
And he started like, you know, like nuzzling the other dog and touching noses and whatnot.
He probably thought it was Sophie.
Did you ever take your dog? I do this to my dog. I take my dog and put him in the mirror to see if he sees himself. Do you ever do that to your dog?
I don't think they do, though. They see differently. Don't they? I mean,
I don't know. But whenever I put Marvin,
they bark. They bark when they see the fucking mirror or whatever. I don't
whatever
know.
I put him in the mirror, he always just turns away. He doesn't want to look at himself.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm distracted because Steve Larper pointed out that he hates your laugh.
I don't give a shit about Stephen Larper.
Well, you know, he's a very talented person. He knows what's good. Why don't you, why don't you take his advice and stop the laugh? You're upsetting him.
He can take one of his fucking swords and shove it up his ass.
The beauty of it, though, is that it's not a sword. It's actually a piece of plastic pipe that he bought from Home Depot. So, so everybody's checking everybody's pets out. I don't know. The vet. I don't want to go there, but I have to. You have to get your shots, and you can't scam them. Yep. They have this shit on lock.
My dog Coco, rest in peace, he never went to the vet in all of his life. All of his life, he never, ever, ever, ever went to the vet. Of course, he ended up behind a fucking truck in a hefty bag, but whatever.
As soon as I hear the word Coco, I just picture it, them taking a real sharp turn and him almost flying off the truck. Whoosh.
And I'm really nervous about my dogs, you know, passing away, because I know we talked about this some time ago. I was looking at you know, dog coffins for the dog, and I think you mentioned I think you went there and somebody was crying.
The thing is, the first time I ever went to the vet, I see this guy pacing back and forth. Looks like a guy in a union, like a guy with biker tattoos, really strong fucking. Like, he shouldn't be there. Like, he's waiting for somebody to help him, you know, hold up the place and hold everybody hostage. And all of a sudden, the effeminate man with the lab coat comes out and has a little cardboard box and hands it to him. And that man turned into a pile of tears. And the effeminate man hugged him and said, "It's okay. It's okay. He's comfy now." Is that really the best way to comfort someone who just lost their dog? He's comfy now? And would you want to be there collecting it? Can't they just, like, maybe mail it to you or bring it out to the car?
I would want to be there because I would want to make sure that they give me the right ashes.
Well, you're not watching the dog get burnt.
I would. Excuse me. I would want to see it. I would want to be there when it was being done so I can ensure that it's actually my dog.
You would. You know what? I guarantee you. I guarantee you they sell some of the dogs they're going to kill to whoever would buy an old dog. And they just maybe scrape around the chimenea on their back deck and just throw it in a fucking box, throw a collar in it, and hand it over to you. They don't let you watch the dog be incinerated. You understand that, right?
I don't think anybody's ever asked. I'm sure if you ask, they will let you.
I guarantee you people have asked. People are obsessed with it.
Well, you know what I will do? I will go to the next vet. I will go to as many vets I can.
In the Heroes Talk chat room, Goatweed says, "I'm pretty sure that there are insurance reasons why they can't let you in there. They're not going to let you.
I'm afraid I'm going to slip into the fucking incinerator?
You might jump in and say, no.
Please.
I want to bury him." Yeah, people get fucking nuts. It reduced this Hell's Angel looking guy to fucking simpering tears.
You know what? I just got flashed into my head just now when you were talking about
an idea?
The dog.
One thought,
and I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but you mentioned to me that in your parents' house, there's a deck, and you told me that little mice would get their heads would get wedged in the deck.
In our old deck, our deck was put up, and the boards were spaced so that they have an actual gap. When you build a deck, you don't build in gaps. The boards shrink, and gaps are created. So when the boards shrunk on that old deck, the gaps were about like a half inch wide, just big enough for our cat to bring a dead mouse, leave it on the deck for us. The thing slips through the crack, suspended by its head. No one sees it because it's black. It rots and gets bleached in the sun. So we had little stuck mouse heads in the fucking boards.
Did you ever take a golf club and just swing at it?
You couldn't get them. You had to get like a chisel to hammer them out. So you just kind of left them there. How did that get flashed into your head?
I don't know. Did you ever take pictures?
No.
And you see, if this happened like nowadays, you'd probably take a picture of it.
It would be on Tumblr. It would be on Twitter. Everything is everywhere now. I don't think I have a picture of me at my college graduation. I don't. It was in 2003. I don't have one fucking photo of it because I think my mom ran out of film. She literally ran out of actual film. We didn't have a digital camera in 2003. We're not that far removed from it, but like if you know,
really, I'm surprised.
Now, any meaningless event, you have 300 pictures.
Yeah,
it's fucking insane. It's getting to a point where it is a little ridiculous. It is a little ridiculous, but you do this. You take pictures of everything. You take videos. It's just the way it is, Frank. We're broadcast. Do you understand? We're talking to each other, expecting people to download this. Listen, comment, call in, and be a part. Do you understand how arrogant and just fucking? I can't even imagine why we do this. Sometimes I get a moment of clarity, and I think, who the fuck are we to expect or even hope that people will just listen to this?
Well, listen,
shit?
We're not putting a gun to their head.
We're not. But wait until June 5th. Once we go to Jizz Biz. And then head over. We're going to get our drink on. And we're going to go to Hoboken Pizza.
I just want to say something about this.
Please go ahead. No, by the way, no gifts or cake.
No. I don't object to cake. I'm just putting it out there. That's all I want to say.
Okay, is that all you want to say about the event for real?
Yeah.
Okay. He does not object to cake. Even if it's shaped like a large penis.
That wouldn't bother me because it's still cake in the inside.
What if it's cream filling? And it's like you're eating the cake's jizz.
It's just a cake.
What if Jizz Biz?
I don't care if it was a guy sucking a dick. It's still a cake.
you would eat a cake, a 3D modeled cake of a guy blowing another guy. You would cut in and take a slice.
Of course.
I'm sorry. There's some fucking cakes I probably wouldn't even want to eat. Definitely a guy blowing another guy. I'm probably not going to take a piece because they're all end pieces. There's no middle piece. They'll have that piping wherever the end is. I can't do this. I just can't fucking talk about cake with you. Because you're too hungry for cake. And Goatweed says eating gay cakes equals very gay. So what Goatweed says goes, Frank. I just thought of something today from lunch. I've heard this phrase. Diet Dr. Pepper tastes just like regular Dr. Pepper. It's been ingrained in my fucking mind since that slogan was on TV for the first time. Have you ever had Diet Dr. Pepper, Frank?
Yeah, I've had it. Dr. Pepper is nothing but black cherry soda.
That is not true. There's 21 flavors.
It's black cherry soda. And anyway...
that is not true.
Yes, it is. And I mean, I like it once in a while. I'm not crazy about it.
Diet Dr. Pepper tastes like Dr. Pepper if you mixed a little chemicals into it. If you just poured a little bit of rat poison into it. It has an acrid taste. You can't make a good-tasting diet soda. You just fucking can't. So, therefore, I can't be a diet soda drinker. If I want to have something without calories, I have to drink fucking water. But I've obviously given up on that because I'm drinking Miller Lite and fucking glasses of wine tonight. So, I don't know. You are only diet soda now? That's all you ever drink?
Well, during my, when I was younger, of course, I would be like, oh, diet soda leaves a terrible aftertaste, blah, blah, blah. But after, 20 years of drinking it, you get used to it.
Yeah, you've killed part of your tongue. And now you accept and probably crave and are addicted to some of the chemicals that are in diet sodas.
Are you being serious when you say I'm addicted to it?
You are addicted to it, Frank.
Where do you get this fat from?
That aspartame. You probably have like a big clay wedge in your brain of just fucking accumulated aspartame.
You know, we mentioned this once before. You're more concerned about like chemicals, whereas I'm more concerned about
filth.
Germs. You know, stuff, like the chemicals in soda wouldn't bother me. But it bothers you. But yet the fact that there may have been, you know, animals running around while they were making it, that bothers me. You know what I'm saying?
But you never used to fear animals. Now, if there's an animal that ran across the factory on top of the cans, that bugs you. But you don't care.
Vermin always bothered me.
But the thing is, you don't care that you're damaging your brain with this shit.
Are you pulling this out of your ass?
It's a fucking proven study, Frank. 10 years. Like, how many years have I been saying, look at Michael J. Fox? The guy fucking couldn't even eat a bowl of cereal without putting Tab in it. The guy drank nothing but Tab and diet.
He just did a commercial for it, man.
The guy fucking loved it, okay? He drank Diet Pepsi and nothing but. He was very...
You don't remember, I mean, maybe you do remember, but back when I was a youngster, back in the 70s, Tab was really the only diet drink out there. That and Diet Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Michael J. Fox embraced it. And look at him now.
Tab, cola. And, yeah. You know, anyway. It's whatever. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about the whole situation.
You started doing some different voices, and that kind of bothered me. I've never been able to recover when you said you were itching your back and you started talking like this a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm talking like this. Can you do that again, that voice, please?
I can't talk about it right now, but I want to talk about something else.
No. Well, what do you want to talk about? I'm sorry.
I want to talk about, just want to wrap up, I know you don't watch it, but the program Survivor.
Oh, I heard that there was a big finale.
Yeah. First of all, I'm sick. I know you don't watch it, but first of all, the fact that this Sarah bitch won twice in a row is makes me want to vomit.
Hold on. What was this season all about? Because I don't watch the show.
It's Survivor.
I don't watch the show because starving people on a fucking tropical land does not interest me.
It's a show.
Oh, I want a challenge. I get a Snickers. Oh, I get some comfort from home. Oh, a bowl of rice. It's a bunch of shit. It's fucking terrible. So, Survivor now, the big season is over.
It was heroes versus villains.
Versus villains.
They took, you know, people who were sort of played by the rules against, you know, one side, and the people who were, you know, backstabbing the other side. And one of the villains won. But I don't think Survivor should have allowed people who already won to return to the program. It makes no sense whatsoever. Now, my question is as follows. If somebody wins $1 million, how much do you think they really get? Now, I know
Richard Hatch apparently got $1 million. And that's why he got in trouble.
Now, Jeff's wife, Missy, indicated that you get $500,000. I would think you get a little more than that. I can't imagine you get half.
I mean, it's heavily taxed. I don't really know the math. I'm not a fucking accountant.
I think
are you obsessing over this?
Yes. I need to know how much you get if you win $1 million.
Are you trying to say I think the Awful Hour told me it was $650,000? Because he replied to your tweet where you already asked this on Twitter. And apparently, much like you asking people if they have their air conditioning on.
Yes.
That the person you're asking, their answer is never good enough. So the next person you talk to.
It's not good enough because one person's telling me 650, one person's telling me 500. Which is the right one?
But when you ask about the air conditioning, someone will say, yeah, I have it on. And then you'll go to someone else and go, do you have your air conditioning? And then they'll say, yeah, I have it on. And you'll still ask more people.
Because I have to know
do you have $1 million you need to pay taxes on? Why do you need such a fucking exact answer? What do you
I've always wanted
shit?
To know. I've always wanted to know.
Always. You've always wanted to know. In your 40 years, you've never been able to figure this out or accomplish the goal of finding out what the tax rate is.
You know, there was something where, you know, we were talking about this get-together we were having June 5th. And wasn't there something that was, up for grabs?
I wanted to give away some of the drink deals to people that were planning on showing up. So it's $30, open bar from 8 to 11. So you pay $30. If you have three or four drinks, then you've kind of paid for it already. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to cover the cost for a couple of listeners. And I don't know, friend. What should they do for us to get this prize? So they go to our party and they're basically drinking for free for 3 hours. What should they do for us?
I don't know.
Because you do understand that at this event, it'll be your final weigh-in. This is the last weigh-in for you. So maybe if they bring something to the event, or they give us a good idea tonight, something like that, or they call in with a really good call.
I think the calling in is a little, that's not really good enough.
Well, what should they do?
I say,
if they call in and they provide a plan, an idea as to what you should do if you don't meet your goal on June 5th,
I'm not going to meet my goal, obviously.
No, your goal changed. Remember last week? You have caved, and your goal of losing 20 pounds now is getting back to even, like Jim Cramer's book. His first book, Get Rich. His second book, Get Back to Even. That's where you are. You've gained weight in trying to lose, and now you're trying to lose what you've gained so you can be back to your starting point, which was a point where you decided that you were at an unhealthy weight and you needed to lose. You were unable to do that. So the goal, get back to 216 by June 5th. I think somebody should call in and come up with a good set of consequences that Frank has to follow through with. And if we accept, if Frank agrees to do what the caller puts forth, we will buy your drinks from 8 to 11 by giving you $30 at the event on June 5th. Do you agree to that, Frank?
I agree to the situation, but obviously I have to agree to what he wants to do.
We have a few weeks here, so come up with something good. 316-768-4472 if you want to call the show. Oh, Frank, don't let us keep you up, you fuck, you sleepy bastard. Oh, look, we have a caller right now. I wonder who this could be. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with a sleepy jerk freak. It's sleepy time for the bald man. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ed again.
Oh, Ed, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I have something that I think Frank could do.
This is if he does not meet his goal of getting back to his point where he was disgusted with himself at 216, he has to do what?
I'd use a different adjective. I'd go with when instead of if, but you know that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But what I suggest is that Frank take a picture biting into the cock cake. He needs to put that as his Facebook profile picture for 1 month.
That will not be done. No.
What, you know, I have a feeling, you know, Ed, that, I think that was great. I don't know if he's not going to agree to it, though, so it's not going to happen. Frank, are you going to agree to any of this, or are we going to just have a meaningless contest?
No, I will agree to it, but I'm not going to do something that's, you know, something of that nature. That's a little off color.
Well, what about on your Twitter?
Yeah, Bart suggested that.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I mean, okay, maybe taking a picture of me with the cake or something. First of all, you guys are assuming there's going to be a cock cake there.
Frank, I assure you.
Oh, there'll be a cock cake there. Rest assured. Come hell or high water, there'll be a cock cake there.
You know, when I said I don't object to cake, I really wasn't serious about a cock cake. I was just talking about a sheet cake.
You know what?
You already said that fucking ship has sailed, buddy.
I mean, a man's supposed to have a breast cake, not a cock cake.
Guess what? You're going to have a big black cock cake. Chocolate. It's your favorite flavor. So, Frank, when you said you don't object to cake, wheels were already spinning in everybody's heads. I wasn't the only person to say cock cake. Barb said that she was thinking the same thing. Ed said yes. He probably was thinking of that already. He probably actually has one in the fridge. he could give to you.
No comment.
There will be a cock cake, and you will eat it, Frank. Now, the question is, if you don't meet your weight, will you pretend to blow the cock cake and and make that your Twitter profile picture?
Oh, man, oh my.
Will you lick the slit on the cock cake and make that your Twitter avatar? Will you cup
1 month?
Will you cup the cockcake balls, Frank? Will you?
If I don't get back to 116?
Yes.
116?
If you don't get back to 216.
My concern is, you say I'm going to weigh myself there. You know, I've been weighing myself on my own scale.
We gave you 2 pounds for clothes last week. Remember that?
No. Every scale is different, so I have to bring my own scale.
Bring your own scale. As long as it zeroes out, that's fine. So, do we have a deal? Yes or no? Okay.
Can we think about it? I mean,
you know, we gotta know right now.
What if other people want to call in with other stuff? Maybe this isn't the best idea.
Yeah, yeah. You should let people call in.
No, hold on.
They have a week or so.
Frank, do you agree to this? Yes or no? The thing is,
I will think about it.
No. You agree, and
this is for a prize, New Style.
I understand, you fuck. To get entries, you have to agree to do this, and then we pick the best one. You rotten cupcake licking fuck.
Okay, I will agree to do this, but it may not be the best one.
Okay, so if we come up with something better, Ed, then you're out. Otherwise, you are in the running right now.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Ed, for calling. I appreciate it. You have a couple weeks, people. A couple weeks. You need to listen to the show live Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern time on Hear Us Talk. Call in.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you saying, oh, yeah? Did the ice cream man come back into your office, Frank?
No, I was scratching myself.
Oh.
You know what? I would prefer maybe a female anatomy cake, you know, rather than a cock.
You are not getting a female anatomy cake. If anything, we'll get you a cake that looks like Antonio Banderas.
What if the cock cake, what if they really shoot their load in there when they're making it?
I don't know. Maybe that's what JizzBiz, that's what their business model is. That's the mission statement of JizzBiz. Every cake jizzed in, guaranteed. Frank, you will be eating a cock cake. It will be.
Are you going to have a bite of the cock?
No, I will not. I am not turning 40. So, and I object to cake. I object to cake. Frank, do you object to cake?
I don't object to cake.
See, then bring on the dick cakes. If there's a way to make a cock pie. Bring that. Whatever cock desserts, bring them to Frank.
Oh, no. Come on. Stop. What the fuck?
What?
You guys are making this into some kind of pornography establishment.
I don't understand. What are you talking about?
I don't want to, you know, to have things, cocks there. I'm a heterosexual.
Frank, did I not ask you if you would eat a cock cake? And did you not greedily say, absolutely, it's cakes?
I will eat cock.
Addie's...
I mean, I will eat the cock.
Hold on, we have a caller here. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Frank. What should Frank do if he does not meet weight on June 5th?
All right, here's my idea. Frank gets on his knees, and we have 7 or 8 guys with cock cakes. And he has to lick each of the cockcakes like he's doing a blowbang.
A blowbang. What if we just get a really long 6-foot cockcake and just battering ram it into his face?
Also, I suggested that he would wear one of those USB MP3 player t-shirts programmed with the humiliation sound on it.
Oh, God. That would be perfect. Frank, would you be willing to kneel down and have 7 cock cakes aimed around your face, thus completing a bakery version of the blowbang? Would you be willing to do this, yes or no?
How about 1 for every pound you fell short of your goal?
Oh!
Can you give me a go to think about it until next week, please?
Well, I guess that's a no then. You don't want to do it? You have to say yes or no that you'll do it to make this.
First of all, you know what? I'll say yes because I know there's not going to be 7 fucking cakes there, so I'll say yes.
Don't challenge these people, Frank. These people are motivated now.
Or Ed can make out with Donna.
Wow.
You must pick one.
Okay, Frank, here's the deal. You can get out of this whole cock cake thing if you let Ed not even make out. just kiss Donna on the lips.
On the lips.
Never. No way in a million years.
Then bring on the cock cakes.
I will stuck the cock cakes up my ass before I let him kiss my wife.
Jeff, is that your entry? Having him stick a cock cake up his ass.
I would like to have Donna and Ed reenact the scene from All Dogs Go to Heaven, where they started opposing ends of a piece of spaghetti and kind of...
That's Lady and the Tramp, but you're very close.
My bad, my bad.
So they have to get a double-ended cock cake?
And work. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the kind that the lesbians use.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, at all those lesbian birthday parties, the double-ended cock cake. Just to show them how we treat dicks. Ugh. Anyway, Frank, you're not going to do Jeff's blow bang. That requires 7 cakes, Jeff. Are you going to make that happen?
Of course.
Okay, Frank. If he brings 7 cakes, are you willing to do it?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's an entry as well.
Are you MF-er, if you make me buy 7 cakes and you don't do this,
well, if we don't,
dude, if I don't lose, I'm not going to do it. If I lose the weight, that's the caveat.
Oh, you're going to lose the weight. Here's the thing.
If we don't pick you, don't buy the 7 cakes. So far, it's between you and Ed. Now, Ed is going to make Frank really caress the tip of a large, bulbous, veiny cock cake.
What about a cake that looks like Donna? Would you allow Ed to make out with that?
Oh, that hold on. Not, yeah, sure, apparently, Sheepy had a good idea, but I don't know. I don't see it here. Oh, okay. What about cock cakes, where we have cupcakes with cocks on them?
Then everybody's gonna take a bite of cock.
No. I object to cake. You do not. Anyway, well, Jeff, I don't know. I don't know if that's gonna work.
Some of these cock cakes they look very realistic. I'm looking at a couple of them online right now. They have veins and edible hair.
Frank, would you eat the edible hair?
Made of sugar strands of
well, I'm sure like the fucking hair is probably like chocolate jimmies or something like that.
What's a chocolate jimmy?
Chocolate jimmies.
It's chocolate sprinkles.
Yeah, I'll post a picture for him so everyone could see.
Okay, he's putting it in the pouch.
Now, are these like 3D cakes, or are they just like 2D cakes?
Frank, Jesus Christ. Yeah, the hair is just just chocolate jimmies, as you say. But it does have... It's a two-tone chocolate cake.
Circumcised.
And it is circumcised, and it's got little vein action. Not as realistic as I was hoping they would be.
Well, it's cake.
I mean, I think that we need a true cock cake artisan. Someone
actually,
who really takes
Ken,
pride.
I have found a better one. Oh, God.
our buddy... Holy shit, this... Okay. This is the episode... This is a realistic chocolate clay dick that is jizzing icing. It is standing straight up, and it has balls with little wispy chocolate hairs. Frank, would you deep throat the cock? Hey, Frank, remember how you called me so many times asking me to remove the cake part?
Yes.
And you said you do not object to cake about 13 times?
Yes.
Aren't you happy that now what we're doing is trying to find the best looking cock cake for you?
Probably the finest. Like I said, I was referring to a sheet cake. I don't know whose idea was cock cakes.
Our buddy Van Edwards is saying, who knew Frank was a closet fag?
Well, this one has an actual vas deferens made of cake.
Oh, my God. It's from deviantart.com. I'm opening
with a studded gay collar.
Jesus Christ. It has a blue vein on it. It really has like a blue Twizzler for a vein that's baked under the icing. I can't look at any more cock cakes. But you do realize that we've just turned our event into the gayest thing in the world. Pretty much. And Frank, thank you for this newfound humiliation. Appreciate it.
Humiliation.
Yep. Jeff, thank you for calling. The What Show is on Friday nights, 9:30 to 12:30 in the a.m. If you have a better idea than Jeff or Ed, which basically is the same idea, getting Frank to do awful things to a cake that is shaped like a cock, then feel free to email it in if you hear this. Or next week, call in live, 316-768-4472. Frank, how excited are you for June 5th at the Green Rock Tap and Grill in Hoboken?
I'm looking forward to the gathering. I hope everybody can come.
I tell you, your cake probably will be coming. So that's very good, Frank. You know, there's one thing that we forgot to do, though. Frank, I have a question. Would you be willing to get the scale?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Okay. This is the part of the show where Frank goes upstairs to get his scale to bring downstairs, to stand on it, to see where he is. His original journey was to lose 40 pounds by his 40th birthday. He realized this at a stout 216 pounds. 5 minutes later, he realized that he would not be able to do it. So he cut it to 20 pounds. And after 14 weeks, he decided he was not able to do that as he had gained 4 pounds. After last week's weigh-in of 218, he is 2 pounds over his starting weight of 216. The 15th weigh-in is on. Will he get back down to 216 by June 5th? If he hits it tonight, all he has to do is maintain. If he goes lower, he can even eat a little bit. He can have a cheat day. The guesses are coming in. We have Octane Fan 218, Goatweed 218. We have 219 from Van and Keith FU. 217's coming in from Kling, Jen Jen, Earth Dog. Kling has just lowered his bid to 215. There's some 220s. There's even probably some cruel fuck like OGA who puts 223 in. There's always the guy that goes higher. Now, Frank, are you back? No, he's not.
Hello?
Are you back, Frank?
All right, let me tell you what's going on here.
Oh no.
Let me catch my breath. Okay.
Were you running on the treadmill to lose some last minute?
No. Mm-hmm. Donna is not feeling well. She's upstairs. So I can either do it myself and you guys trust me, or
you got to do it yourself and take a picture.
Or I can go upstairs and call in with it and just call in and have her be there and do it that way. How do you want to do it? I can call in or I can do it this. How do you want me to do it?
Well, I think that you should do it yourself.
Okay. Let me strip.
Although I do like hearing from Donna.
All right. Well, let me go upstairs and I'll call in.
You're going to call in?
Yeah. What's the number?
It's 316-768-4472.
All right. Give me a couple minutes.
All right. Frank is now going to bother his sick wife so that he can carry on some kind of a radio stunt that he does in his basement. This is very good. That he doesn't know the number, not surprising to me.
Yeah, Ken, what's the number again?
Do you have a pen?
No, I'm going to plug it in the phone. Go ahead.
316.
What's the area code?
316!
1-3-
Holy fuck. Are we
1-6-
768-768-
4-4-4-4-7-2.
I can't believe you don't know the fucking number.
All right. I'm calling you now.
Someone get him a cock cake with lesions and some kind of fucking bumps. And just put, like, raspberry gummies on it. He's calling in now, and I don't see it. So that's great. I guarantee you he got the number wrong. Oh, here it is. Frank, are you there, buddy?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm running upstairs. Give me a second here.
Good, he's running upstairs. And there's a little bit of an echo. Frank is trying to get some last-minute exercise in so he can lose a little bit of the weight.
Okay.
Am I on speakerphone? Because I shouldn't be on speakerphone.
You're not on speakerphone.
Okay, good. So you're up there with your sick wife right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm taking my clothes off.
Nice.
Okay.
Bend over and get me a chocolate sheath.
Did you fix this so it goes to zero?
Is Donna there? Can I say hello to Donna?
Say hello.
I can.
Hey, Donna, how are you? Can I ask you a question?
Well, he wants to ask you a question. Go ahead. Okay.
Have you been listening at all tonight?
Of course.
Are you aware that your husband is going to be eating a cake that is shaped like a penis?
I heard. I hope I can get a piece.
What? All right. Come on, fix this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, what's going on up there, Frank?
The scales seem to be working. Luke dropped it today. And it's... Oh, shit. Yeah.
Wait.
It's going backwards. The scale's going backwards.
Well, that means that you are now how many pounds?
All right, I think it's okay now.
Okay.
I'm approaching the scale.
He's approaching the scale. We have our spotter there.
Maybe I should.
Oh, he fucking hung up! Goddamn son of a bitch! I hope his voicemail doesn't come on.
Hi, this is.
Ah! Okay. Frank, you gotta call, you son of a bitch. Jesus. Hello, are you there?
Okay, I'm approaching the scale.
He's approaching the scale.
I'm in the bathroom. Can you hear the echo?
Yeah, I hear it. It's perfect.
I'm on the scale right now.
Yes.
Why? What's so funny? A good weight? There's obviously something wrong with this thing. Yeah, there's something wrong with the scale, Ken.
Of course.
Because it's saying I'm 203 pounds.
Yeah,
and
not a chance. Not a fucking chance.
We'll have to, do this next week or whatever. I apologize.
So there's been shenanigans with the scale. You sabotaged it.
Luke was using it as a bouncing off of it today.
So you better buy a new scale by next week.
Yeah, okay. I'll definitely get a new scale. You buy a new scale. All right.
I love that you say, I'll buy the scale, Donna buy the scale.
All right, I'll be back in the show a couple minutes.
All right, yeah, so Frank's coming back down. What a letdown. What an absolute letdown. We want to know where Frank stands. I think that he's around 228 right now. Personally, I think he had a 10-pound swing. Very upset to go to the vet. Probably didn't care about the donuts being tainted. I'm thinking plus 10 from last week, total of plus 12. But we won't know until next week. He's got to go and buy a new scale, which means Donna's got to go in her car and buy a new scale. She's sick, but she can go shopping for her husband, who will be eating and sharing a cock cake with his wife. Donna was very excited at the prospect of getting that cake. Frank, are you there yet?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. I had you turned down. So, Frank, very disappointing.
I apologize. It wasn't something I anticipated.
That's okay. You seem to know exactly that it was broken, though. That's the weird thing.
It was, because it was going backwards, obviously.
It bent backwards! Yeah, I understand. Well, anyway, I guess that's the way...
I'm sorry.
That's the way we have to end it now.
Go on with your...
And Frank, you know what?
Fucking way.
You know what? DWI.
DWI and...
GFY. I came up with that right now. GFY, Frank.
What's that mean?
Go fuck yourself.
Oh.
Thank you, everybody.
You also came up with ASAMFP.
ASAMFP. Listen to The Awful Hour, Best in Show, The What Show, and of course, The DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. HearUsTalk.com, entertaining talk radio broadcast on this fine thing we call the internet. Thank you to everybody for calling in. Jeff, Donna, and Ed. I really appreciate it. Be sure to tell your friends about it. Frank, is there anything at all you want to say? Anything at all? Coors!
You're not a friend. Sometimes you just don't feel it. Take a pack of real punch. I'm a fucking pear. I can kick all y'all. I want to kick all y'all friends' ass. Grooves and hooves. Ken, is there anything that you would like to say?
You're an asshole. It's a fucking snooze. ASAMFP. GFY. FF. Which means fuck face. That's what you get for being fat. Dude, I'll take a bet just to prove you I could. Nah, I'm good. Thanks. Cockcake! Cockcake slang!
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.